Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 2 of a community conversation with Senior Empowerment Coach Dr. Duana Hardy. Let's listen as she continues to share her transformative journey to forgiveness.
This scripture, I've read it a million times, heard it a billion times, and the Lord just stopped me and said, I really want you to unpack the scripture. The scripture is Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, and this is the NIV, or New International Version. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And so when the Lord began to unpack this for me, he said, the first part, make every effort to live with peace, to live in peace with everyone. And I looked at the word peace. Peace meant in a state of calm and quiet. Mm-hmm. We find in our relationships, that is not the case. Mm-hmm. Chaos, mayhem, and foolishness mm-hmm. run amok. And our society, if you watch any of the reality shows, drama. Mm-hmm. There is no peace. There is no calm. And I think that's what the Bible thinks about the world's peace. The world's peace is you manage the drama. You manage the chaos. You manage the foolishness. You manage all of those things. That is not what God is talking about. Right. The peace of God is that place of state of tranquility and calm that when all about you are losing their minds, when all about you is the chaos, the mayhem, and the foolishness, you have peace within you. You're in a calm state when trouble is all about you because you know and understand that your reliance and dependence upon God is going to get you through it. It's going to sustain you while you're in it. And it's just a season that it will be there for how long as God wants to teach you something. And you know that at the end, you're going to have such a, I'm going to say, an understanding from God about your relationship with him. You're going to have a new perspective about how you deal with your peers. And also, you're going to have a boost or a level of your faith is going to go up because the scripture talks about your faith being the size of a mustard seed, which is tiny. That's just the starting point. Your faith should be growing so infinitely big that you don't even recognize it anymore because it's something that is not from you. It's something that is from God as you trust him. And so it's not your faith. It's God's faith in you, but he can't do it without you actually trusting, relying, and dependent upon him. So we talk about this peace. He says that do your best to live at peace, to live in peace with everyone. So if you're not in that place of calm, if you're not in that place of tranquility, automatically red flag. The second piece, without holiness, no one will see God. Literally, holy living means that the Christian life is set apart and reserved to give glory to God. You go, what? That's what holiness is? Yes, it's not about a whole bunch of other stuff that we've been told what it is. Because holiness is not something that you're actually doing as it actually is being perfected in you. So this part of without holiness, it means it's a life of discipline, of focus and attention to matters of righteous living. And the righteous living is from God's standards, God's principles. And you can only know that by being in his word on a daily. You can only know that being in relationship with him moment to moment. That's the only way you can even know what those principles are. So again, we have to make every effort to live in peace with everyone. That state of calm and tranquility. Number two, we have to be in this place of walking in holiness, having this life of discipline before God, spending time with him in his word, spending time in prayer. And I want to make sure prayer is not you get on your knees in the morning or you do it at nighttime or you pray over your food. Prayer is constant talking with God throughout your day. That's what prayer is. Now, do we pray over our food? Yes. Do we pray for people? But you should be talking to God every day. Prayer should be a lifestyle that you're talking to him on a daily, that he is basically regulating your life by way of his Holy Spirit. Third point, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Grace is defined as God's favor, God's goodness. So let's think about this. God's grace is his favor and his goodness. The first piece of that is, it is undeserved. You can't do enough works, good things to get God's grace. It is actually undeserved. So let's get that apart. You can't work for God's grace. It is something that he gives. The second part of that is, it is unconditional. You can be completely to the left. You can be completely gone in your own mind, doing your own thing, and yet God's goodness will be there for you. And I'm sure everybody knows that. You have a time or times in your life when you have thought you was doing your best you, and God's grace was still there for you.
Right.
And that could be drawing you back to him. That can be saying, that's not what I have for you. That can be getting you out of a dire situation. That can be just, you are in such a dire strait, and his peace just came over you to let you know that all is well. I got you. Because again, it's unconditional. It's based upon when he wants to give it to you. So you can't earn it. And it's when he wants to give it. And then lastly, it's unlimited. So there's no cap to God's favor. There's no cap to it. It's infinite. Just as he is beyond our imagination, what we can think about his righteousness and his holiness, his grace is in that same category. So it says, see that no one falls short of the grace of God. And so if you think about what he's saying, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. He's giving you a key right there. If his grace is undeserved, unconditional, and unlimited, who are we to decide that we can't forgive somebody for something they did for us? Who are we to decide, I'm done with you? You know what? I ain't got nothing to say to you. To hell with you. Who are we to say that? Who are we to say that when his grace is unconditional, undeserved, and again, unlimited? But we, small g, little God, that's not how we that flow in our kingdom. If you in our kingdom, yeah, you're going, retribution is coming. Just get ready. And then he says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. If you think about God's grace, then a bitter root can get into your heart. A bitter root is something that gets into your heart. It lodges there. And because it's a root, it grows. And that bitterness, when a person is bitter, they are caustic. They are critical. They are angry. They are fault finding.
Yes.
Overall miserable. Overall miserable. Because that root of bitterness is down in your heart and you don't even recognize it's just growing, 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 growing. And that if you look at this root of bitterness, it means something dark and black and having tentacles or branches. It's just taking over your life. Mm-hmm. It's taking over your thinking. It's taking over your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health. That root of bitterness is just reaching into every aspect of your life. Yeah. So I can tell you personally, I did not know for those 3 decades as some change that it was manifesting in my body. I had right above my clavicle, I had like a little nodule. And it was like, and it's like a little, I'm going to say not bigger than a pea, size of a pea. And over the years, it grew to about, I'm going to say 5 inches long along my clavicle. And you can feel it and you can see it, like this lump right under my skin. And I, for the time that I was married, I cannot turn my head this way and that way. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. I stayed in chronic pain in my upper shoulder area. Chronic pain. I mean, we're talking tears, Bengay, chiropractors, everything. And I didn't know it was because that root of bitterness was manifesting itself in my body. I did not know that the root of bitterness was having an effect on my, you know, my mouth, my teeth, my gums. I did not know all these things. So imagine, to my surprise, again, the year that I was divorced. And I remember the Lord told me it was right before Easter. It was a week before Easter. The Lord told me to go get my dental work. He told me to go to a chiropractor. He told me to basically see about, you know, this abnormal, you know, tissue here. And in 1 week, it was the most, I'm going to say, profound week for me, because in that week, I was told that my spine was so out of whack that the man who was a chiropractor, he was scolding me. He had never met me before in my life. He began to scold me on how bad my spine looked to him. And I was saying, sir, I walk up to 5 miles a day. He said, that's not true. There is no way you could be walking up to 5 miles a day and the way your spine looks. And I was like, but I do. I walk at least an hour a day up to 5 miles. He said, that's not true. There's no way. Because according to your spine, you should be in chronic pain. You should not be able to do anything. He says, to the point, I'm going to send you over to another doctor, because I actually want him to take an x-ray of your back. And I was like, what? I leave him, go to the doctor at the x-ray. And then the guy who was x-raying me touched and said, what is that? And I said, I don't know. It's been growing for years. He says, I'm going to make you another appointment to look at that. Mm-hmm. He says, I've never seen anything like that. And my friend who's a doctor, he completely works with those things. I'm like, can I take a picture of it so I can show him? And I'm going to refer you to him. So you can imagine what just happened. I went from one chiropractor the same day to this other guy who says, he took me to my friend. I come back to the chiropractor. He's like, look at your spine. I mean, he tore me out a new one. He says, you need to set yourself for therapy. I was like, therapy? What? He says, that's why you can't turn your neck. That's why you can't. I was like, wow. So now I set myself up for therapy. I go see the new doctor, who now tells me, wow, that's called a lymphoma. It's fatty tissue. And we're going to take a sample, and we'll tell you whether or not it's benign or malignant. So now I got to find out if I have something malignant inside of me that's going to require, you know, whatever that means. Is it cancerous? What does that mean? So then I have to wait for those results. Then the next day I go to the dentist, and the report was so bad, I just cried. And the person said, it's amazing. You have the most beautiful smile, but you have gum disease that is so ridiculous. He said, the fact that you have not been sick with some kind of constant colds or constant fatigue, because you have a serious infection in your mouth. What? So now I had to go through all the deep cleaning stuff. I mean, we had like 4 sessions to get all that bacteria out of my mouth. In the meantime, they tell me that this is benign, the lymphoma, and then I'm going to therapy. And this all happened the week before Easter. And that Easter was April, was at 4-3-2-1. 4-3-2-1. That was that Easter. That Sunday would have been, Easter would have been the 4th, I guess. And then 4-3-2-1, I got baptized that day. Mm-hmm. I literally was at church and they were talking about baptism. And I'm like, this is the day. This is the day. I just felt compelled to get baptized. And I've been baptized before. I felt compelled. Like I need new. I need a whole new experience because my body's acting crazy. And again, I didn't connect any of this to the root of bitterness in my heart. I did not connect any of this to unforgiveness. I just knew my body. And again, what I connected to, oh, that bad marriage I was in. Oh my gosh, look what happened. And it had nothing to do with my bad marriage. It had to do with my bad paradigm, my bad thinking, my bad heart. That's what it had to do with my bad heart, my heart toward God, my heart towards my husband, my heart towards the life that God had given me. I had a bad attitude and it was manifesting in my body. So just to say, God healed me of everything. My smile is still pretty. And the bacteria is all gone. And it was benign. They took it out. It looked just like the chicken fat. When you get a whole chicken, that fatty tissue, that's exactly what it looked like. Took it out. Literally, I got that done on a Friday. Saturday, I could turn my neck. I could do all of this. I've never been back to therapy since. I've never been back to therapy since, because when I got that out, everything just came, my body alignment, everything. So again, when he talks about that bitter root, it is real. And it will take over your mental health, your physical health, and your physical health, mental, emotional, and physical health. And that root will take over and it manifests in various different ways and very different people. But if you're having maladies in your heart, and the word malady, let's go back to that. A malady, by definition, is a disease or disorder of the body. That's a malady. Mm-hmm. So the maladies that we're having in our body, the Lord is revealing to me, it is connected to this root of bitterness. It is connected to this root of bitterness. So if you're having problems with your emotions, you're having a problem with mentally, you're having a problem, it is connected to this root of bitterness. And then the last place, he says, no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Defile, to make unclean, to impure, to degrade, to dishonor, to spoil something or someone so that the thing or the person is less beautiful or pure. Let me say that again. Defile, to spoil something or some person so that the thing or person is less beautiful or pure. Isn't that incredible that this root of bitterness can now defile you? That God has made us in his image. God has made us beautiful. God has given us everything pertaining in life and godliness. And here we are living with these maladies. And well, it's just the way it is. Everybody got to get something. That simply is not true. Because again, there are some sufferings that we have in our bodies that God allows to happen because he's trying to get our attention. Right. But then, why is he trying to get our attention? Mm-hmm. Because there's a root of bitterness that's connected to the malady. And so the malady is manifesting and he's saying, yoo-hoo, see that malady? Come to me with that. I can show you the root of that and we can take care of that. But we really don't want to hear what God has to say. So we'll stay with the malady and have an excuse for failure rather than actually live the abundant life that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it was interesting with the guy when he talked about defile many. And I was like, okay, Lord, what is many? What's the many? He said relationships, educational pursuits, career choice, advancements, wealth building. As far as the natural is concerned, the very things that we want as far as the natural human life is, it defiles all of that. That root of bitterness will defile the accoutrements of life. Because it has come what? To steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil comes to do. So these maladies come to steal, kill, and destroy. These maladies come to disrupt the flow of God in your life. These maladies come to ensure that you never achieve what God has for you. And you always stay in a place of less, inferior. I thought the key to degrade, that means that take something that was good and make it less than pure, make it less than good. Think about your life. Think about the areas of your life that were good, but now aren't. Think about that. What was something that was good in your life and now it isn't? You can trace it back to a root of bitterness. You can trace it back to some offense that came into your existence that you didn't forgive. Resentment took up the charge for you and said, I got you. The secret power, the secret sin that you have, that you are not going to let it go. And you're going to hold them accountable And now you didn't realize that in doing so, you allowed this malady to corrode, to degrade, to create an environment that other maladies can grow. And now you're so deep into this life of maladies that you've forgotten what good is. And so thus you become critical, you become fault-finding, you become caustic, you become angry, because how else would you not be that? How else? If the maladies is the principal overlay of your life, how can good actually be represented or presented or produced in that kind of environment? It cannot, it will not, it just won't. And then I thought the last part of that, we need to understand that forgiveness is something that God has provided for us through his son, Jesus Christ. That 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So if the God who created the heavens and the earth has made a space, a place, has a mechanism for us to be in relationship with him by having our sins blotted out for his own namesake through the shedding of the blood by Jesus Christ, who are we to decide that grace is not to be afforded to others, though it was afforded to us? Forgiveness was afforded to us, but we can't give that to them. Mm-hmm. And then I can forgive, but I can't forget. Mm-hmm. And God himself says, I will blot out your transgressions. Blot out means erase. Mm-hmm. The God of the heavens and the earth said he will blot them out, erase. He also said in blotting them out and erasing them, he will separate your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even thinking about east and west, west coast, east coast. Let's think about the west of the world from the east of the world. Mm-hmm. Let's think about the eastern hemisphere to the western hemisphere. Let's think about the galaxies, east and west. He is willing to separate your sin from you, but you can't forgive and forget. You can't exonerate. You can't let go. Wow. I don't want to be a part of your kingdom. I don't want to be a part of your kingdom. Because in God's kingdom, there is freedom. There is liberty in Christ Jesus. In God's kingdom, I can move about the cabin of life freely in God's kingdom. In your kingdom, and in the kingdom that I would create, none of that's possible. Mm-hmm. And there I was, little G, trying to exact a transactional forgiveness from the husband that God gave me. Here I was. There I was. You owe me. You got to make me whole. What? Mm-hmm. And God didn't say any of that to me. Mm-hmm. God's words to me is, I want to make you whole. I want to give you everything you need to live an abundant life. All I need for you to is acknowledge that, one, you have sinned against me. Two, that you actually feel my pain. This is God speaking. I want you to know that it hurts me every time you walk outside of the parameters that I have for you. It really hurts my heart because I don't like you suffering because of the consequence of sin. I don't want you to be in a paradigm where now you're in the clutches of your own makings, of your own doings, because you got on the enemy's territory and he is tapping that behind and he's strangling and choking you out. I don't want you over there, because when you're with me, he can't touch you. When you're with me, he can't exact anything from you. So in Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, there's no shame, nor is there guilt. People would make you think there is. No, God, he always trying to, that's not him. That's little G men. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's little G men. who are saying, you owe me, you know, I'm going to hold this over you until you do this. I'll never see you as being better than what you were. And that's not how God acts. His thing is, once you tell him, once you show him that you really want different and that you want to not be that, he will help you not be the latter. So that he says what? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Mm-hmm. I press toward the mark of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. That's Paul, who was the chief Jews of Jews, who had it going on, who then became a murderer of Christians. And he said, you know what? Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm letting that go. Because I can't do nothing with that. Because if I have to repeat and rehearse that all the time, I can't do what God told me to do, because I did persecute the Jews. I did murder them. I did torment. He would never be the chief apostle that he is today if he had to keep rehearsing and being condemned and feeling the guilt of his past life when he was Saul and God gave him a new name, Paul. And God is telling us the same thing. You don't have to live like that. Mm-hmm. So that being the case, we don't have to have this root of bitterness. We don't have to have it. But we first have to acknowledge what is the source, the unforgiveness. And we have to understand that it is the chief cause for illness, sickness, afflictions, and complaints. This root of bitterness.